Last year, I think around March or May there, they announced that we'll be having El Nino within East Africa. And El Nino conditions meant that we are having enhanced rainfall for some countries, but reduced rainfall for some other countries, such as Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Sudan. It was also noted that it will be one of the strongest El Nino conditions historically. So Ethiopia, not quite the entire country, but was engulfed by very large rainfall deficit.
Yeah, so how are the drought conditions affecting food production in Ethiopia?
For the worst affected areas, they're still trying to recover. There are good rains that come in. For example, this year, Ethiopia is receiving some good rains, but then the magnitude of the drought last year was so huge that some parts of Ethiopia are still trying to recover despite having good rains this year.
I then spoke with Shrad Shukla and Chris Funk to find out more about NASA SERVIR, the program that works to bridge the gap between geographical climate data and East African policymakers.
It's actually a joint program between NASA and U.S. Agency of International Development. It is a program that facilitates use of advanced observations, remote sensing, monitoring, and the model data sets for decision-making purposes in different parts of the globe. And mostly, it focuses on the developing region for actual decision-making purposes for flood prediction, say, drought prediction, famine early warning, and even, say, things like hydropower prediction or crop insurance.
How is this program working to reduce climate problems in East Africa?
So, Kendra, one way that I like to think about these questions is to play back the clock and ask ourselves how we could have done better. So if you look back at the impact of this last El Nino that we just had, one of the biggest El Ninos ever, you know, we had really big droughts and food security crises in Ethiopia, where maybe 12 million people needed a lot of food aid. And then all across southern Africa, where perhaps another 30 million people needed food aid. And so the activities that are funded by this project build on the network of our food security specialists to try to take satellite observation, climate forecasts, and use them to anticipate the kind of shocks that we experience. So next time a big El Nino comes around, for example, we would like to make the Africans better prepared to say, hey, you better watch out. We're going to need to import food, and we better get started doing it now.
The idea is that we are trying to facilitate use of these existing data sets as much as possible in the actual process in the region.
Yeah, so Shrad, in the UCSB current, you were quoted saying that the goal of this project is to take the geospatial data and turn it into actionable information. So can you talk a little about this? I know that it's easy to have the data, but how do you actually get it into information that can be used by policymakers?
Sure. There are a few obstacles between the data sets that exist and their uses in the actual decision-making process. So what we are trying to do through this project to reduce or remove those obstacles. So one of the main obstacles is just access of the data set through, say, web services or tools that can download them from the cloud or like the servers where they are located now. So we have a in-house tool that we like to call Early Warning Explorer, which is basically a software that we are hoping to transition to the hub in Nairobi. And they can, and not just transition, but also provide them training in how to best use that tool. Another thing that we will be working on is developing some easy-to-use softwares that will relate those data sets, such as the rainfall or temperature or climate forecast, with the actual variables that are of most concern.
Is there anything else you two would like to add?
There are many existing advanced data sets, but if they are not used by the decision makers, they are really not of much use for real-world scenarios. So I think one of the things that I personally find very exciting about this project is that it's trying to bridge that gap.
I just like to kind of build on Shrad's comments about the interdependencies and, you know, and point out how the Climate Hazards Group is primarily funded by the U.S. Geological Survey. And it's this really unique kind of partnership between the U.S. government and the University of California. And then again, with our scientists like Chris Chitote in Africa, that really lets us go all the way from Washington, D.C. to the research lab and then on the ground in Africa to hopefully make some effective change. So we're pretty lucky to be part of it.